machine?
October 14th, 1974. Tape number 7, channel 1, side 1.
Yeah.
fell down. Hey, you just gotta get them all off, haven't you? Give me a ring. Basically impervious to sound. Lamb. Air. Want to wind it up? Wind it up? Where's your dog? 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 Where's your dog?
Yeah. You got one inside the other.
Yeah.
Just up for about a few minutes from a nap.
Oh, take a peek up.
Oh, Dum Dum.
Dum Dum's getting clever. I'm watching him with the dolls. It's fascinating.
See, did he get all his rings off?
I think that happens to be my performance, but he's been getting more rings on.
I know, I watched him speak up.
The weird thing is he still doesn't know what he's doing right, but he knows fairly quickly when it's going wrong.
What I noticed him doing is he sort of puts it on the top and moves it around until it falls, till the pole comes up to the
hole. Yeah, but if it is something with a hole, he doesn't pretend he's getting it on anymore, he dumps it. And also he dumps one of those if it doesn't behave right. So he's, and with the dolls the same way, and also with the pen cap, he very quickly, he has a notion of what he wants to get to, and he doesn't pretend that he's getting there if he isn't anymore. It's wonderful. Look at those dolls. He's perfectly happy. He puts the head and he nests them this way. But if he happens to get two ends that won't nest together, he drops it immediately and picks it up again and tries another configuration.
You're also a doll, Jacob.
I'm getting the biggest kick out of watching. That's imagine how pleased he is with himself. I finally figured out what showing somebody something involves, too. I realized that one of the things he does is he holds it out in such a way that he can see both it and you at the same time. That's how you know something about what it is to be paying attention, what it is for somebody else to be paying attention. And it's extended just from eye contact to where both of us focusing on a third thing. I may not get much phonology out of him, but I'm in a great cognitive development chapter. I wonder how kids at Brim will like that.
Is he your advisor?
McClay is my advisor. He's a psycholinguist. But kids at Birth is expecting something from that, but he's also on the committee. According to all my proposals. And even Ryan Morgan is the other guy on the committee. Just in case we should do some synthetics. Do you want me to fix lunch for Jacob?
I'll get some lunch for Jacob.
Okay.
Jacob, the paper. George, are you going to eat something more?
Mm-hmm. I guess I better start interacting with Jake.
Oh, not any more than you would want.
Well,
just sit here and watch and just sit there and watch. I gotta find samples of you sitting here and watching.
That's what I usually do. If he's playing happily, I'm perfectly happy for him to play happily.
Yeah, me too. This morning when I was, oh my, you gonna go after that? You're not expecting it to come back to you, are you?
No, what do we need?
We've only been spared from buying because we're sitting in the house of buying such crummy bread. Our bread money.
Can't you cut bread with one of our other knives?
It makes a mess.
It's because they're not sharp enough.
Yeah, bread knives are nice.
Yeah.
it didn't go like you wanted it to,
yeah.
Did it? Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Boy, you should have seen, I was listening, earlier I didn't have to take one, so I was listening to the radio. You should have seen him watch when the announcer's voice came on. I'm actually right between the speakers, I guess, and see it on the stereo.
Well, that's very satisfying. Come over here.
Did you in fact have the red typewriter first?
A large bagel for myself, so I don't need very much else in case you're wondering what to do.
Fine,
cheese on the side would be very nice.
I guess I'd have planted my bug on the table.
Judy, what'd you do with that spare piece of foam that I had floating around clogging up your table?
I put it somewhere. I think I put it on my desk.
Okay, I'll cook it. I just want it because otherwise all kinds of vibrations come through the table. Every little click of the spoon is...
I think he wants some bread.
He really likes bread.
Sit up. Either.
How about a piece of bread?
Huh? I discovered that if he was eating egg and I was eating bread, it wouldn't do. He had to have bread or else I had to put mine away.
Bread is so nice to chew on.
Damn, it's gonna get hazy.
Well, it's not supposed to rain, is it?
No, but I want the sun to actually shine all afternoon long.
The sun is shining.
Why, are you going to take pictures, or you just like sun and you have to play volleyball?
I'm gonna play volleyball.
Doesn't the sun get in somebody's eyes?
Yeah. Some people complain vociferously.
Figured you'd have a piece.
I think he lose his track. I've decided to try and corral Mark or Ivan and ask them whether the correlation of tone and stress or something that could make enough predictions about to make it worth collecting. Jacob's things, a lot of them show very clear tone patterns, stress patterns, and what have you, and I don't think they show all possible combinations. But I don't know if the restrictions correspond to any interesting predictions. It's not always the case that he goes down or up on the stress point, but I think there are
I know what they'll do. They'll refer you a paper to a paper by John Goldsmith,
mm-hmm.
which is supposed to be the latest word on intonation in English.
Mm-hmm.
I don't particularly find it that informative. In fact, I think the observations that he has in there are actually pretty old observations. Read the whole literature on stress and intonation. But I noticed that one thing that he points out, which I believe has been pointed out before, is that there are intonation contours where the intonation falls exactly where the stress syllable is. As in, elephantiasis isn't the most dread disease in the world.
But also for
that's it, yeah, get a different contour. Mm-hmm. Elephantiasis isn't the most.
Yeah. I'm getting very tired of elephantiasis. I know it's a lovely word because of its length, with all those unstressed syllables, you get plenty of time to see what's happening.
Ivan is sort of like Hedge, isn't he?
Very much. In many respects.
Yeah. In fact, that those kinds of discursions that you were complaining about are very typical of Hedge.
That's right.
George and Ivan are writing a paper together. George is complaining that Ivan is always going off on some tangential thing.
Yeah.
That's the paper about?
It's about non-syntactically controlled anaphora in discourse.
What's an example?
Well, suppose Jacob is trying to insert something that's too big and through something that's too small. You can say, do you think he can do it?
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't very well say, do you think he can?
Mm-hmm.
That's the contrast that we're interested in, because there's a whole class of rules that are like the latter one, which seem to require a syntactic antecedent.
Mm-hmm.
See, a good case of that. Look out, Jacob's going to fall out. Hopefully don't give him some more bread. A good case of that is he's trying to put the ring through that hook, but I don't think he can.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that it's just the syntactic deletion rules that require the MEC and so-called pronominalization and whatever it is that results in do it and things like that don't require a syntactic MEC involved.
It's really nice. I congratulate you.
By the way, George, did you ever take them out for beer?
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I bought a beer. Mark was wrong.
Aw.
You know why?
He had to go home to his wife.
That's right.
But Ivan and I didn't.
I heard you met Alberto there.
Alberto had found a way. He was not there. He was on his way to someplace. And
I found him. Like
we sort of twisted his arm and made him come with us. Is that other kind of cheese? Still remnant?
Something new. Whatever it is he wants, something.
Give me a piece.
Oh, shit.
That tape got that quite clearly.
Maybe
a paper towel.
There
seems
to be a scarcity of those.
Now, I don't know how I managed to do that. I'm very seldom that clumsy.
It's contagious. I'm in my clumsy stage.
Maybe just having a nanny around the house to help clean up.
Jacob, you just sit still. I'm working on it.
We can try the wine and cheese combination now. Yeah. I always just like that port wine and cheddar. I don't know how all that Cheshire and
butter we drink it. Good.
So
welcome.
Here, Jacob. That's what you wanted. It caused all stuff. Don't fall down. Nope.
What a balancing act.
I actually almost fell down in that position.
It would be an awful blow to the back of the head, wouldn't it? Oh,
that's good enough.
I like this better.
I talked to Ellen Kaufman this morning. I usually find one or another phone call to make while Jacob's napping.
How is she?
She's still sort of tired. She's just trying to keep up is a tremendous strain, really. She's got a sitter now. She's got some more help. But she's not getting very much written. She's got the usual case. Yeah, everybody's got writer's cramp, and some of her data aren't coming out the way she would like. I mean, she's got the normal thesis hassles.
Yeah. In addition to
the kid. In addition to the kid. Who's still at 7 weeks.
Still
isn't really sleeping all night. He sort of fusses for a while in the middle of the night. Doesn't have to be fed.
7 weeks. He's still kind of young.
Yeah, he
is. Through the night.
Danny was on a fascinating schedule for a while. He ate every 6 hours around the clock.
Jacob stopped sleeping through the night as soon as I stopped breastfeeding him. Which was about 10 weeks in.
What disgusting thing are you doing, Jacob?
He is noticing that gravity works from his mouth just like from his hands. There's one motion of Jacob's, only one that really disgusts me.
What's that?
It's when he takes a glass that has some liquid in it, and he puts his hand in it and he goes like this.
Shit,
Why does that disgust me?
Sit down and eat this bread. Sit down.
Is it your feeling that he understands what he's supposed to do when you say sit down? Or?
No. But I know that babies, by some mysterious process, sooner or later learn to understand, and I figure that...
Oh, I agree with you. I just was wondering if you felt it had happened yet.
No. Maybe marginally. I mean, sometimes he does things that he's told to do.
I think he may respond to the firmness of your voice mm-hmm. rather than to...
If he knows what he's supposed to do and decide that it's a nice time to do it for some reason.
The look in your eye.
He just had it now.
He's tired.
Has he had a busy day? Has he all of those?
He didn't do anything special yesterday.
Went to the woods.
Hmm. What woods?
A place called Middlesex Fells.
I've driven through it. I've never been there.
Yeah, they could not, like, split it in half with 93, unfortunately. It's sort of nice. But when you go walking along this trail, and you're tripping over beer bottles and beer cans mm-hmm. and paper bags and old socks mm-hmm. all along the way. It's really a shame. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nobody
picks up. I was with some other people who I suspect haven't seen really full views because the top of this little hill from which you could see a couple of the Boston skyscrapers, and they were all going crazy about the fantastic view that
there was. Did you ever tell them how it looks from the top of Mount Adams or Mussolini? I climbed both of those on clear, absolutely crystal clear days, and you know how far apart those are. The crystal clear days in New Hampshire, right?
Oh.
They're far in between. But by some chance, those two were clear days. And God, the view was superb. I probably can't do it again. The Mussolini climb was probably the last straw on the knee. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and it was Adams that killed it in the first place. I first got the heavy strain. But I suppose if you have to go out, it ain't a bad way to go. Because from Adams, we could at least fool ourselves that we might be seeing as far as the ocean. They say you can from the top of Washington, which isn't much higher. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing else in between. And from Mussolini, seeing Adams, I'm seeing Washington, which was maybe 20 miles away. No, and at least three, I think it was the third ridge back. And somehow, in that scale, with ridge after ridge, the sheer bulk of Washington is much more noticeable. I mean, it's still the biggest mountain around. It's even way back, way far away. I got more impressed with it from that distance than I did from being on its shoulder. That's nice. Does he catch the click? Does he see the light
button? He doesn't
look up. He notices it. He very rarely is here at night. He usually asleep. You're supposed to eat that left in the light.
Just like the switch, it does something.
We were, over the weekend, there was a 4-year-old staying here for a few hours. Mm-hmm. And he saw Jacob turning the light on and off. He told me that I should stop Jacob from doing that because he was going to burn the battery out.
Must be a flashlight in that kid's life.
I was wondering whether it was that or whether his parents had told him not to turn the lights on or not. Because it would burn the battery out.
Hmm. Well, there's always that possibility. I could never do that. I could never buy a kid like that. I remember getting pretty mad at friends who talked down to my kids and who told them dumb things or mad or whatever.
Well, that's the only thing that... The fact that these people, I know these people are fairly restrictive, but as far as I know, they always try to tell their kids exactly what's going on. They try to explain things to them correctly. That's why I'm not sure that they actually get this as an explanation. Mm-hmm.
People really vary a tremendous amount as to whether they think you want to explain things to kids. And they vary. Like, most of us raise our kids in isolation from one another's child-rearing habits, so they don't even realize that there's a possibility of doing it differently, just as I do.
Yeah. Well, I think my natural tendency is not to explain much, but I observe.
Well, this age.
Well, I remember when I saw George interacting with this kid. I was amazed at how many times my instinct would have been just to ignore the question or to give some kind of answer when George actually explained it. And it paid off because Jesse when he's told not to do something, if he's told the reason, he usually, and he thinks it's reasonable, he responds.
My kids got themselves lectured to him. My Fanny has a charming habit of saying, but he's had enough explanation now. He would have turned me off. Stevie just had an insatiable appetite for being talked to. Danny knew when he'd had enough, and he told you so. Still does. He'll ask me some sort of question. That's all I want to know now.
What are you doing? Would you be courageous to your uncle?
What are you
doing? I think there wasn't room for the bread.
Yeah, he very often gets to the stage. He starts putting more in his mouth than he can hold, and then you know something's coming back out soon.
Yesterday in the woods, I kept giving him pieces of apple, which I hadn't peeled, and all of a sudden he started choking.
Oh.
And it all came out. The minute it all came out, he's going, "Whoo! Whoo!" for more.
Weeks from now we have an identical holiday situation. I was vaguely thinking of bringing my family down for a little part of the day to visit Jacob. To see if it'll be fine.
How's that finger?
Fingers are nice. I mean, they're usually warm and they're nice and firm. They're always there.
Don't get soggy.
At least not in a short period of time.
You know what? Jacob's nails keep themselves trimmed. Is that because he crawls on them and they get worn down?
I don't know.
Baby's nails are more fragile than ours.
Yeah.
They probably wear off and break off.
I haven't cut either of his fingernails or his toenails since. I've never cut his toenails and his fingernails only once this summer. No, Jacob.
It's worn down to a very efficient little nub.
Yeah, I guess crawling really drags you to the person. Jacob's nails are just about to point where he's thinking, I wonder if I should trim those. No, I don't. And I think, I wonder if I should trim those. My kids scratched me when I got that long, so I had to trim them. But Jacob doesn't seem to scratch anybody, at least doesn't scratch me, he doesn't scratch himself.
When he was younger, he used to scratch his Don't put it in your hair or your ears.
No.
Smile on head shake.
Eat it, Jacob. He's been doing this thing. He keeps taking things in his hand and putting them around his neck if he can. So we have these, you know, those bunches of blue glass beads on the string? He took them, hung it around his neck so that the beads were over here. Mm-hmm. And he kept trying to do that with any object that he could sort of lift around that. I think he was trying the same motion.
The necklace is kind of beads.
No, not exposures, nothing to be worried about.
I've said that if I get a chance, I've got to study raised eyebrows. I don't know what they correlate with, but... but he's just so eloquent.
He's getting a lot more imitative in various respects. I was blowing the cereal when I make it fresh and give it to him yesterday. He was blowing on it too. Mm. Wanna go down?
Yes.
Oh, brother.
He's gonna fall.
From this angle, it doesn't look as fast. I love the way he goes after that giraffe. He just seems to be madly in love with it. He murmurs tender endearments to it.
It's not just the giraffe. It's any large, soft, fluffy object. Because he does the same thing to a pillow or our down quilt or anything that he can bury his head in, a sweater lying on the floor, anything.
Yeah, when I put him in for a nap with a bottle, I usually tuck the blanket up against his cheek. He seems to appreciate that.
Sure
he
does. Okay, before you have a chance.
It's dangling, you should grab it. See what happens when you pull.
Oh. Hey.
That's another thing he likes to do is to put the pen cap on my pen. It's very much like putting, you know, I let him have the pen cap, but I won't let him have the pen because I'm busy taking notes. And it's very much like the dolls. Just between the last time and this time, there was a change that he still doesn't know which end is the right end, and he doesn't deliberately change ends, but if he's using the wrong end, he quits, and if he's using the right end, he keeps on. So he's developed that much discrimination that he knows when he's getting anywhere. Also, if the way I'm holding the pen is at right angles to the way he's got the pen cap, and so it isn't going on, he doesn't know how to turn it to line it up right. If it's within a couple of degrees, so it starts to go on a little bit, then he can follow it on. There's so much to watch. It keeps me busy. Wheel. But the thing that I'm seeing now, the reason why I want to stay with him, even though sometimes I wonder if I'm ever going to get enough rule change for thesis, is that I'm beginning... I've had the feeling for a while that that Jakobson is more than a little wrong. That phonemic oppositions come after phonetic targets get started. And that you have to start with, they may have to start with phonetic targets that you can have before you can set up the oppositions. It may not come in neat slices of grave opposed to acute or whatever. You may not divide off the world. I mean, he had a gorgeously neat, you've seen this stuff, right? That Jakobson had in Jakobson and Howie. Oh, there's a brief summary, even if you've never read the whole thing in aphasia and child language, is a quick summary. But it's this beautifully neat thing that people have simply loved. And I think it's more than a little wrong. I don't think it's just wrong in detail. I think it may be really wrong in principle. The problem, I mean, I don't know if you want to hear about my troubles, but there's evidence that he's got really neat control over a couple of oppositions when he wants to. You know, I mean, he knows what's nasal and what's not nasal. No, he doesn't. He knows what's a no, and he knows what isn't a no.
Yeah.
Well, he
has those two. I mean, he uses da and no in different circumstances.
Right.
Different situations.
But then he's got a lot of other sounds that he messes with, and they may very well form a continuum. I've got to settle down this and see if I can find out whether he's got a discrete or nearly as possible a continuous set of closures. There are some things that I write down as probably palatal, but I've been learning a little bit about the anatomy. The little I've learned suggests that you shouldn't be too hasty about assuming that a sound that a kid makes, if produced with the same oral cavity configuration that you would produce it with. And I have to team up with some, I have to get a hold of somebody like Lieberman.
what's his name, and see what they know about the animal kids around this age. Because so far what he studied is just newborns as far as I know, but I don't know what else what rabbits are published. But the way Stevens has his approach to universal phonology structured, he's talking about these areas with the idea that the good phonemes, good phones, let's stay with them, are ones in which a relatively large change in position of articulation will produce a relatively small acoustic effect. They're nice, reliable signals. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've run into this stuff or not. I've just been reading fairly heavily in phonetics. And for adult mouth configurations, the models he's been making, it looks pretty good. And it's a theory to work with.
Okay.
There's a real difference with some configurations. With some configurations you might consider unstable. If you move just a little bit, you change the sound very drastically. And there's a reason to say, well, that's a poorer kind of signal.
Why is that?
Well, because if you slip a little, if you're hasty, you throw
because
a whole
Because you have to
off.
Hit it so precisely in order to get the same
It would be very interesting. For example, I've never asked him directly, but given the rarity of palatal stops and frequency of palatal affricates, is it possibly the case that palatal stops are less stable and that what they slip into is palatal affricates? Everybody knows it's a natural sound change, right, for a palatal stop series just to slip into affrication. And it may be something specific about that position in your mouth. The acoustics being visibly complicated. I haven't asked him a specific question. It looks like that's the sort of thing he would like to prove, even if he can't prove it yet.
Yeah. Could also be articulatory, though. It might be this sort of difficult tongue position.
Well, that's the end of that. You want to get down. All right, but I'm going to check you in a few minutes. Ring.
dog. Dog. I'm a dog. Dog. Right. Nice thing about dolls is you can move on your head. Dog. Thank you.
Jacob. Come on. Come on, let's play with what we've got here. How about a ring? Ring? I see. You'd much rather be in there. Hey, Jacob. Do you want me to take him out for a walk so you can get some work done, Judy?
What?
Do you want me to take him out for a walk so you can get some work done?
If you want to get some work. Do you want more of me, okay?
Oh, I don't need... I think I got plenty of both of you for quite a while.
Okay. All I'm doing actually is counting up, so I'm going to do about three.
know what you might have to say just then, so I can find it on the tape. Let's give you a change. Yarrgh. Oh, we'll be back, we'll be back.
Oh,
there,
you're
afraid of moving him for now?
Hey.
Turn this on, Jacob? You shouldn't get much positive reinforcement.
Mm-hmm. Just as well, like, to turn it on the other day. I was very impressed with himself or with it.
You did it for a while?
Mm-hmm.
At my parents' house in New Jersey, one day one of the things you just pulled it right now. And you turn it on and you can tolerate the loudest volume. You're going after this.
Does that mean you know what to do with things? To do something with books with them?
No, it means you're going to book something on them.
Yes, you mustn't open it up, right?
Thank you, Jacob. Have it back. Have it back.
wild streaks of conflict?
Yeah, I put down a couple of samples of what happens, and I write down Babel's secrets. That's the best I can do. I get this very sentimental kind of feeling about October. The last time I was hunting around for similes, I decided that enjoying a fine October day was like drinking the last couple of bottles of the grape vintage when you knew there wasn't going to be any more.
This has been the most wonderful October. I think the weather has just been fantastic. I can't remember, I mean, maybe all autumns are like this, but I don't remember them being this glorious day after day. And neither do you.
Our house has fantastic views of trees. It's got a great, small view in the back because it's closed in within 10 or 12 feet by little birch woods. So it looks directly into the lace of the birch trees. And in sharp contrast out in the other direction is a big sweep of trees on one side of the hill. And so there's a whole range of colors out the front.
Do you have a fireplace?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We don't know how functional it's going to be. It looks very pretty. With the price of wood, I'm not also sure how we're going to use it. I feel very strange about having a fireplace. I'm not using it. I'm sure we can try.
But in Mexico, the place that part of Mexico I was in was quite chilly, and you really need a fire on most mornings. And it was really a pleasure because you buy this huge quantity of wood. And then you can hire someone from practically nothing to kind of chop it up for you into all different sizes. And making a fire is like that. You just take little ones and bigger ones and bigger ones. And in a few minutes you have a blazing fire.
Okay.
Yes, you can have it.
Hmm.
Did you feel recognition on that?
Mm-hmm.
It sounded very much like a question.
That and the facial expression, really, you know, the two together.
Thank you.
book? Book? Wanna read your book? Book. Now let's look at the book. It's a dog. Dog? Boy? Dog? Dog? Girl? Another girl? Dog? And a squirrel? And a snowman? Dog? Jacob, what about some more reading? Come back and see the book. The dog? Go on over and look at the dog. Want to come here? You're very impressive. Another last in the whole place. Hey, Jacob. Hi. No, you can't go in there. Hey, Jacob, you got a ring. Ring? Well, what about the game of peekaboo? Yes, I understand. It's a difficult situation. Where's my new scarf?
Take it.
Peek-a-boo. Okay. Yeah. Peek-a-boo.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo.
Socks when we go for a walk.
I wish his booties
are. Oh, or booties are or something, yeah.
I said the wasp one because something's gonna go in there.
I guess the last time we went out I used the booties. I'll go be like that.
Bum 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 bum.
Somehow I have a really strong version of Vine Zales.